Welcome to the podcast formerly known as Comedians with Ghost Stories, now called Haunted as Hell. Why? It's still me. It's still Emily, the TV writer, the comedian who's been hosting all along. Why change the title? Because it's spooky season, and it has come to my attention that when we're in the comedy world, people that are looking for ghost stories sometimes can't find us. So I've rebranded. Although the content is going to be, it's going to be performers still telling their amazing true stories, brushes with the paranormal, and I'm still hosting. Even the intro music's going to be the same. I just want to be able to reach all the people that are trying to find us easier. Also, if you are in the New York area on Friday, October 27th, my husband, Chris Calogero, is recording his very first comedy album after 15 years of doing stand-up. His first comedy album at Jalopy Theater. I am hosting the show, so I will be doing comedy as well. It's going to be such a fun night. There's shows at 7 and 9 o'clock. You can go to jalopytheater.org to get tickets. So that's something big that's coming up in our little world. Come to the show. It's going to be great. Enjoy the episode. Have a great spooky season and day. Today on the podcast, I'm super excited to have two guests. They are sisters. Welcome, Caitlin and Sierra Laird.
Thank you. Hi.
Thank you. We're so happy to be here.
Thanks so much for joining the pod. I'm so excited. It's amazing to have two guests because one of my favorite things about ghost stories is when they're corroborated. And I'm like, okay, if there's two of you, there probably is some corroboration in this story. So I'm so excited. Take it away and tell me where your story happened.
Yeah. Great. Thanks. Yeah. Thank you. My sister and I are filmmakers together, and a few years ago, before the pandemic, we decided to start filming for a Western feature film that we had written. We'd started writing a long, long time ago based on our own family history a little bit. Our ancestors were cowboys and by all accounts rogues. We decided to go ahead and start filming, and we ended up casting out of LA, but deciding to film in Lone Pine, which is near Mammoth.
Yeah, we checked around a lot of different locations. We were looking in LA, and we were looking in Tucson, Arizona, actually has some really cool Western settings. And then we really liked this place in, Lone Pine near Bishop, California.
It used to be really big for filming a lot of Westerns when the spaghetti Westerns were happening more. It still has been used a little bit for recent films.
I think Django Unchained was
made. Yeah, they shot one of the cavern scenes there. But mostly the film industry has moved away from there. So the people in the town were really excited to have a film come in, even though we're, very indie.
Yeah. It's always nice when people are like, oh, this is novel and we're excited to have you here. We don't get this very often.
Yeah.
Not like get out of the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I lived in New York for a really long time and it was like, okay, you cannot, like, this is my street where I live. Like, this is not funny to me. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. They're like, get your background out of the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how far from LA is this area?
It's about 6 hours. What was nice is that it's kind of 6-ish hours, both from LA, where pretty much all of our actors were coming from, and Santa Cruz, where we're based out of and where a lot of our crew was coming from. So we were able to kind of caravan up and meet in the middle in Lone Pine.
And we had a house there for everybody to stay in, which was not exactly like totally big enough for everyone, so it just became this really fun sleepover party. Everybody's bringing some people had beds and a lot of people had camping mattresses, and everybody was such a good sport. It actually made it more authentic feeling because we were like, oh, we have two showers to share among 30
and then
people.
And then the hot water died. Shoot. So if you wanted a shower, it was cold water or nothing.
Yeah. It kind of made it more epic though.
It was kind of fun. The dirt was real.
Yeah.
So
And
we had a local guy there, Manny, who was our location scout, and he showed us a lot of the cool areas and knew the town really well. And so we filmed different scenes in and around the town, and we were able to partner with the ranch, one of the ranches out there, and use their horses.
There's a train, or there's a museum, like
yeah,
an
train
outdoor
museum.
Train museum, mm-hmm. And they were looking to let us just film a bunch of static shots. And then at one point they were like, hey, we have to move a train from one end of the yard to the other. Do you guys want to get on and film? And we were like, stop everything. Everyone's getting on this train. We're just going to get like whatever. We'll find a way to use it
yeah.
later. It was
yeah.
just like, very spontaneous. Like, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you find a way to use that? Some of that footage?
Yeah, we did. We like kind of had the actors talk about vaguely similar things to what was going on in another scene. And then we ended up using it like kind of like, doing a dubbing, like a voiceover mm-hmm. at one point with
used it. For the trailer.
Used it for the trailer. It looks so pretty that
yeah.
we were
yeah.
like, yeah,
yeah,
justify somehow.
Yeah, makes it look like there was money.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And yeah, I think so. It was very fun and the people there were really great. And then we ended up hearing about this ghost town called Cerro Gordo, which is a little bit outside of Lone Pine, but it's up high up on a hill, and it was a mining community in the 1800s. It was kind of short-lived. There were about 500 people who lived up there, and it was known for being incredibly violent. Like at the peak, there was one murder a week.
Just, oh my God.
And that's only 500 people. I mean, that's not the,
like your odds of dying are kind yeah. of high. Yeah.
It's a lot of turnover.
Yeah.
And so we decided that we wanted to film some scenes up there because it's got these beautiful old structures. Everything still looks very authentic, very 1800s.
And so we're like, okay, how do we organize this? How do we get, you know, permits figured out? How do we, like, do they want money? What do they want? You know? Mm-hmm. And the guy, Manny, our like location scout, was like, well, the guy up there, you know, he's kind of like this old, like caretaker. He's like a little different.
And he didn't own the property. He just was the only one who was ever there.
Right.
He was just like the caretaker.
Mm-hmm. And so Manny was like, well, if you just bring him a bottle of whiskey, he'll let you film. And we were like, ha, ha, ha. And Manny was like, I'm serious. Bring him a bottle of whiskey. And we were like, oh, my God. Okay. So
yeah.
he's like, go and buy a bottle of, like, Crown Royal or yeah. whatever he wanted. And we're like, this is,
yeah. And so we all get in our rented SUVs because you can't take most cars up the path. Just the road up to Cerro Gordo is very steep and rocky and gravel road and very unsafe. And so we just all piled into a few SUVs and went up the mountain and met the caretaker, gave him his whiskey. And he was like, yeah, just sign these waivers and then do whatever you want.
Amazing. If it was
like,
all ideal. That easy. Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's like, by the way,
he starts going on about, you know, being careful because of the ghost and they don't, you know, the spirits don't like people and yada, yada. And we're like, oh, this guy's been alone for a long time.
Here. Yeah.
You know,
totally by himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much disregarded that. And he kind of got the waivers and then he left.
He just left.
He's like, all right, bye. Do whatever you want.
Probably to go drink his whiskey in hindsight.
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, great. We have this like beautiful property that
like 400 acres or something like that.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh. And the guy's just like, be careful the ghost. Bye.
Yeah, yeah, completely. Yeah. But he's like, I've done my part. And like there's a beautiful outdoor area. We're like, oh great, we can get these outdoor shots. There's like an old saloon, there's all this exterior. We're like, mm-hmm. oh my god, we can get it was so pretty. We can get this like epic fight scene right at sunset with like or like you know like get like all the golden hour light on everybody and like
yeah
and there were some other buildings up there. There was just a lot of stuff to choose from.
Yeah. And it was we had so much that we wanted to get up there while we were there for the one day that we were running really tightly. You know, we were really trying to pack it in and get everything done as quickly as possible.
No time for ghosts.
Yeah. and we'd brought some local people up to kind of be background, and a few women had saloon girl costumes that they'd wanted to, and they wanted to be a part of it. And so we're like, yeah, that's great. You can go be in the background doing your thing. But we told everyone, you know, sit tight. It's going to be a while before we get to you. We're trying to get everything outside first before the light goes. And then we've got the sunset shoot. And so just hang out, have some food, have some water, you know. And I told them, I was the costume designer, so I told them specifically, don't put on your corsets yet because it's going to be hours and hours, yes. And I don't want you to be in a corset.
That's
that
a bad mood.
Not super comfy. And so we come back a little bit later, and they're totally in their costumes, and we're like, okay, whatever, just, you know, so you know you're going to be here for a while. So,
right. I warned you.
Yeah, I've warned you. I've done my part. And so we were off with kind of our smaller team shooting and trying to get as much as we could. And it had turned out that someone had brought a lot of alcohol to the set.
And we were like a bunch of people who had wanted to be background from the town who, like, our location scout knew somebody who knew somebody. And he was like, I can get all these people in. And we were like, all right, great. Like, they're willing to just come eat food and hang out and be background.
Yeah.
But we didn't know them very well. And so somebody had brought alcohol up there. And we're at really high elevation. So,
oh, God. Like, so everyone's getting tanked really fast and easy.
Yes. They think they're getting a little buzzed. And oh my God. So we come back from this, like, wonderful little shoot with our splinter unit, and we're like, everyone is tipsy. Not everybody, but like, some of the crew, not the background.
Yeah, some of the people were a little tipsy, and we're like, okay, it's okay, keep going, you know,
right.
let's just keep rolling. And there was one of the women had a son who, a very, very young child, who they weren't watching, and so the kid was kind of running around in this not safe environment.
And we'd said, like, you can only bring your child if you're gonna be super on it, you know, like
this is not what you need. Yes.
No,
this is professional and Also, before we were recording, you guys were talking about sometimes men condescend to you for being sisters in the business. And I'm like, if you guys were brothers, would somebody have brought their child and let them run loose? You know what I mean? Like, that's,
It'll be fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so our crew was kind of like babysitting.
Yeah. One of our other child actors ended up kind of volunteering to babysit him. Like, we're like,
oh. He's like 14, 15. And so we're like, yes. And adults.
Sorry.
Like,
okay. Thank you.
Yeah. and actually, speaking of the being taken seriously, one actor was like, not thrilled that I was doing the fight choreography, which, like, I do have like a decent amount of.
Yeah. You have a lot of training. A lot of experience.
Everything. And so he was like being like fairly sexist, and we were like, all right, so we're like, and this is the golden hour shot, and this is fast and pretty, and so we're like,
he's pushing back everything that she says, he's pushing back against, he's just really not listening to her.
But it was one of those moments where I kind of just had to get really assertive and like walk the line, still not being sharp, but just being like really firm, and it worked, and it was actually really satisfying in that way. I was just like, got pretty bossy and was like, this is what we're doing, and we got that, it looked really beautiful, like got that ding kib.
It's like, how do you how are there not projections for this when you're like hiring the actors? Like, I wish that you could like look into the future and be like, are you going to be a monster, you know?
We always say, like, we would, like, obviously you want talent and manners together, but like, we would probably take manners, or like, talent you can coax and direct, you know, in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone's an ass, they're just an ass.
Yeah.
And there's so many. Anyway, sorry.
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
So we get everything that we need for the fight, and we're moving indoors, and the saloon ladies come out, and they're like, are you going to use us now? And we're like, oh no, we actually have like a couple more things to get first. And they're like, well, we have a hard out right now. And I was like, well, I'm sorry, you didn't tell us you had a hard out at 8:00, but we can't use you. So sorry. And so, and they had also been having quite a bit to drink. And so,
so we're like, but don't go anywhere. Yeah. You just shouldn't be driving down the mountain right now. They get in their cars and they drive down
with the small child.
Yeah. We're like trying to stop them.
We're like, my God, I hope they make it down in one piece.
Which they did. It was fine. But like, we were like, well, we can't really control you. We can't really stop you. But like, but then once they left,
things went smoother.
Things went a lot smoother because they were kind of some of the instigators. Yeah.
Yeah.
So things that now we're kind of down to skeleton crew and the cast who's so professional and wonderful, like, you know, great actors, everybody.
And we're getting through what we need to get done, and as we're getting through, we're sending cars back with people who are no longer needed so that they can go home and have a cold shower, sleep on the floor.
You know, the creature comforts.
We finish wrapping, and it's pretty dark at that point. I think it was getting pretty close to midnight, and we had been filming and in this large open saloon with a bar and a chandelier above. And then past it, there had been the kitchen that we were using for costumes, and we were putting crafties back there. You know, everything was set up back there. And so we finally wrap, we get everything done. We send everyone back except for just us and the cinematographer and a few other people. And we're just packing up and trying to get out because we're all tired. And I was in the kitchen packing up all of the costumes and been totally fine, not thinking about anything freaky at all. Right. And I was walking back through the saloon with a handful of costumes in my arms. And I started getting this feeling of just like hairs on the back of your neck, just standing straight up. Mm-hmm. Like someone was in there with me, and we're both pretty sensitive to energy. And I just started getting the kind of chills. And then as I walked underneath the right underneath the chandelier, which at this point has been replaced with an electric chandelier, it blinked off right as I walked, right as I stepped underneath it. And I just froze, and it blinked back on again. And I just started a monologue. I was like, I am so sorry. We're in your space. We are going to leave now. Please don't be offended. Everyone is getting out. It's just constant rambling. And the caretaker had mentioned that once the sun went down, the activities started coming up. Kind of standard.
Yeah.
But so all of the things that the caretaker has told me just come flooding back into my mind.
Yeah.
Oh, breathe. It's fine.
Oh, and my God.
It was so intense. And our dad was helping us. He's great. He's just always loves to be on set and help and everything. Do you remember exactly?
Yeah. So there, one of the other rooms in that main house, there's a bunch of bullet holes in the wall, and there's actually a blood stain on the floor.
Oh my God.
And he was, he was in that room. And later we found out the exact same moment, I think a door slammed or something else happened to him at that same moment. And something else happened to our cinematographer at that same moment. And
I thought Sierra was in the next room next to me. And I was thought I had heard something and answered her. And it turned out she was not
totally really part far. Of that.
Yeah,
so really four quiet. People at the same time had something crazy happen.
Yeah, in different parts of this property.
But none of us wanted to say anything because we didn't want to freak anyone else.
Nobody's sharing this.
Yeah. So we're all just really quietly packing up the car and trying to get it done. And no one's talking. And then Caitlin was packing stuff in, and she reaches her hand in to shove a bag further in, and catches her hand on my sewing scissors that had opened themselves up in my bag and slices her hand open.
Oh my God.
And it's elevations are just spurting blood. I mean, horror movie level blood.
And we're all I think Sierra or our cinematographer, somebody grabs my...
And we hadn't counted right, so we had more people than could actually fit in the SUV, plus all of this stuff. And so at this point, we're like, just get out. And so I think I was sitting on Caitlin's lap, holding her hand, pressed close to try and keep pressure on it. We've got three other people, crushed in next to us. And so we're driving down this rickety mountain path.
At night,
there's no light. There's absolutely no exterior light.
Yeah, we're just get. Out of this place.
And
then we go down and we're we gotta find an emergency room, because this is probably gonna need stitches. So we're calling around, and we're trying to find numbers for local hospitals, and we finally find this one phone number, and someone is hello, and we're hi, we have someone here who needs stitches, can we bring her in?
And they're like, oh, I'll call the doctor and wake them up. Yeah, come on in. okay. So we drive to the hospital, and it's several trailers linked together. This is the hospital. three trailers. And the doctor comes in after a while. He's
in his pajamas.
Just woken up. And he's this is so exciting. I haven't had a customer in a really long time.
Oh my gosh. Customer? Oh my God. Awesome. Patient. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we like go into this little trailer.
Yeah. And normally they airlift people out. Nothing ever happens at this hospital because, you know, if it's serious enough, off they go. But it wasn't serious enough for being airlifted.
It just was like around stitches.
Yeah.
How many stitches did you get?
Five, I think.
Yeah.
And the anesthesia wasn't working. The doctor had tried multiple times and it just,
or the numbing
wasn't working.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she, like, the doctor tried multiple times, you know, and those are not little needles. And to find enough spot and numb it enough that he could stitch it up. And after like two or three times of trying, and it wasn't the right spot, it wasn't taking, he just sewed her up. And so I remember Caitlin sitting, like, laying on the hospital bed, me sitting on one hand, like, on one side, holding her other hand and her almost breaking it. And our cinematographer, who's this, like, wonderful Ukrainian woman, Ilya, was, like, sitting on the other side holding her legs down. And she's just getting stitched up, feeling every single thing.
Which is the most Western experience you could ask for.
Really?
Yeah. How bad did that hurt? Was that horrible?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean,
I think you left your body for a little bit.
I think I did. I just completely checked out. I don't really remember. I remember my, you know, Sierra and Yulia being wonderful, but I is kind of a blank.
Yeah.
Actually.
But oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so he stitches her all up and we wraps it up and we get back to this house that we're sharing with like 30 people. And she walks in with this massive bandage on her hand and everyone's like, what happened? You were only gone a couple more hours. And I told the whole story and everything.
Yeah. And then, you know, a few more days of filming, it was all fun and great. Mm-hmm. A good time.
One, is your hand okay now?
Yes. Thank you. It's got a real small scar. We write so that we can also act in what we're acting in. So we just had to hide my hand for the rest of the shoot.
Amazing.
We were like, can we write it into the script somehow? Going to film?
Yeah.
But yes, it's okay now.
Yeah.
And two, clearly this is like negative spirits that they're not happy that you're there. Do you think that they opened the scissors or do you think that was just a random coincidence?
I don't know. I feel like it was either that or the panic from sensing so much going on and sensing the urge to get out of there.
I know they did not want us there. We could feel it.
Yeah.
We could feel that they did not want us there. And so then what happened?
Oh my God, there's more.
During so not with us, but during the pandemic, right at the beginning of it, Cerro Gordo went up for sale. And
which was great timing. We couldn't have filmed there after that.
After that, yeah. So we had kind of filmed when the previous owner had, they didn't, you know, they weren't super involved at that point. But so it went up for sale. And this investor guy bought it with a few of his friends and to try and turn it into a tourist attraction and revamp it and everything. And so he went up to go check it out and start working on it himself during the pandemic. And then he ended up getting snowed in there. So for several weeks, there was no access in or out.
You could not get
in or out.
Yeah.
No.
And this like kind of, I think Silicon Valley-ish or very,
right.
you know, like
yeah.
city slicker type is like up there snowed in.
Snowed in. Yeah. And when he gets out, they interview him and he reports all of the same things happening that we were experiencing and more, but like the lights flickering on and off and things happening in the room with the bullet holes and like all of this stuff, the sounds, things that you just can't explain. He had things would fall mysteriously or get misplaced or like tons of things like that.
And he's like pretty wigged out after this experience.
Yeah.
And like trapped up there.
And go ahead.
Oh, was he like, I don't want to own this anymore? Or was he like,
like still living there. He was last time the article came out. I think he took a little bit of a break to recover, but then he loves it. So he went back. And so when this came out, I think our cinematographer saw it and sent it to us and was like, guys, this is where, you know, where we were and everything. And so, and then I just found out that where we were filming, several of the buildings burned down just like, very recently, and it wouldn't have been very long after we filmed there, and they burned down to the day, 149 years after they were built.
Oh my God.
And they don't know what happened. They don't know what started it, but the room with the bloodstains, like all of that, like burned down.
Oh my
And there's
God.
Still some structures standing, but they think they lost three structures. And the guy who owns it now wouldn't say whether or not he thought that there was something supernatural about what started the fires. But
149 is so strange.
Yeah.
What a strange, yeah. Like, you couldn't wait till 150 and just, like, make yeah. it, I don't know.
Yeah, but on June 15th, it was built and it was finished, and on June 15th, it burned down.
Oh my gosh. Sierra, yeah. So you said you guys are kind of, like, tuned in to energy stuff. Have you had experiences like this before?
We've had a few like trippy experiences when we visited the Tower of London, in London, which, you know, very cool, like to visit a historical location, but like, my God, have horrible things happened in that place. And we both were like, so stressed out. We were like, we couldn't even stay there for like the entire tour.
Interesting.
When I was younger, there's a place locally in the Santa Cruz Mountains called the Brookdale Lodge, and in the 1940s, it was really famous for, like, movie stars would come and stay, and it was, you know, it's in under the redwoods. It's really beautiful. There's a stream running through the hotel lobby, or there was, that's like the lobby is built around this stream. So it's always a very beautiful hotel, but bad things have happened there, and a girl died there, and basically this lodge has been just had the worst luck of anything. I mean, it's had fires there, it's had drug rings were run out of there, like
someone drowned in the street.
Yeah, just bad things on happening there. But throughout both of our childhoods growing up, it would be open for a little bit and then something would happen, it would close down, you know, be open and then it would burn down, you know, it was like thing, it kept on trying to open. And I remember one of the brief periods that it was open, they have this really cool swimming pool where one wall of the swimming pool is glass and on the other side is the restaurant. So you can see through to watch the diners and the diners can watch the swimmers, and it's very cool and quaint. And I remember going there for a piano recital or something, you know, after party or something like that. And both my best friend at the time and I saw a woman who looked like she was a waitress, except you could see through her to the tables on the other side. And I know I was a child, but I swear to God, I saw this very clearly, and my best friend saw it too. And then Caitlin was there and she swam down to try and look, and the woman was gone.
Whoa. So, like, oh, that's awesome.
I will swear to that, like, till my dad.
Yes. So you're like, I'm a little bit since I've had some experiences going into this big one that you're like, all right, I trust myself on this. So what do you think what do you think happened? Do you think it was energy that was stuck there from the times where it was just like a little murder town or, I mean,
There was, I think it is. I think that there was a lot of suffering and a lot of death, and things happened like 40 Chinese miners got stuck in a cave-in and no one tried to rescue them, so they all died there, you know, like bad things have happened in that area. And so I don't know how much I believe in the existence of real malicious spirits, you know, trying to or able to actively hurt people, but I definitely believe in spaces holding on to the energy of negative or positive things that have happened in the past. And I also believe that there are ways that people who have passed can visit us and make us feel and make us know that they don't want us in their house anymore.
I feel like it's kind of just residual energies left over, a really, really emotional or really intentional or really dramatic thing that's happened can just, I feel like, leave an energetic trace. And, you know, I feel like, well, we are very, very much believe in like science, and I have a science background and everything like that. But I also feel like there's a lot that has not been discovered yet about like quantum physics and quantum mechanics. And I think it's really interesting to think about, like, I mean, a lot of the science that we have discovered now used to seem like magic. And there's the whole quote about like any advanced technology just looks like magic. And I feel like there's maybe someday it will be like quantifiable how like, you know, energies get left behind or like how things in the time space continuum affect other times, because I don't think it's as linear as we, you know, in the past have thought that it is.
So. Absolutely. That was very well put. I really like asking my guests this question because every time I try to say what you just said, I get very jumbly. So thank you for that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So can you guys, I mean, I don't know if you have more ghost stuff you want to talk about, but I definitely want you to plug this film that you guys made and yeah, talk all about it.
Thank yeah, you. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, I think those are all the super notable encounters and experiences. But the Western film, we filmed most of the primary photography and principal photography. And then we've actually at this point are thinking of kind of reworking it into like a mini series, because there's just a lot of story to tell. And so that project is a little bit... going to be in post-production for a while, I think, while we rework and figure that out. But we did just release our first feature film that we ever made, which we shot 10 years ago in Santa Cruz. And it's a 1950s retelling of Romeo and Juliet. And we used all original Shakespearean dialogue and adapted it. So it's went from 3 hours to being about an hour and 20. Mm-hmm. It's very fun and sock hop and vibrant and tragic and kind of exploring some of the issues with the, you know, 1950s society in America.
So, yeah, that is amazing. And also I just tried to watch the 90s version. I don't know if you've seen it. Yeah, probably did.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, because I'm just like, I love 90s BS, and I was like, okay, like I'm gonna watch this and it's gonna be awesome and I'm gonna feel like I'm a little kid again, and it was terrible and I hated it and it was and I was like, oh, this isn't very good, and it's making me feel physically dirty so anyway, glad to see it tried again. Is it called Romeo and Juliet?
It's called Verona. And I know what you mean. Like I always, like, I love 90s movies too. And I always like want Shakespeare adaptations to be amazing. And that one is, like a little out there. Yeah.
Really out
there.
And we also really wanted Shakespeare to be approachable, because when you study it and you learn how to understand it, it's really clever and funny and sexy and all of that.
It's got this kind of like elitist, you know, academic,
a little bit of a barrier to it sometimes. Barrier to entry.
Yeah. And it used to be for like
the masses.
The masses and the like peasants and the public and people who couldn't afford very much. And
So we it ended up being really cool because a lot of the cast had never done Shakespeare before. Some of them had never acted before. One guy we found in a coffee shop and we were like, you look right. Have you acted ever? And he was like, I was a tree in my kindergarten play. We're like, great, you're hired. And he was great. He played the prince and he was wonderful and charismatic.
You just like made the dream stay alive. Everyone wants to be approached, and me included, and been like, oh, you're just like really perfect looking. Can you do this thing on camera for me? And even though I'm not an actor and I don't want to be, I would of course say like, yes, I have to. It's my duty.
So you know it does happen sometimes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I think because of that, because we didn't have Shakespearean trained actors, although they are wonderful in a lot of circumstances, it made it feel very natural and very real. And we just had our kind of premiere for our cast and our community here in Santa Cruz. And we had a lot of feedback of like, I hate Shakespeare normally and I loved this, or I actually understood what was going on and people laughed and cried. And this really, the most you could ever ask for in an audience. So, That's very special.
Wonderful. Congratulations. Oh yeah. Plug more. Go for it.
Yeah. Oh no, thanks. We also have,
and also that film is not available to view online. Currently we're working on distribution pathways for it.
But we have a YouTube channel. It's just at the Laird Sisters, LAIRD. And, we post like like update. So when we make it available, there'll be an update on there, and we have our sketch comedy on there, us mm-hmm. being ridiculous and hamming it up, and some music on there, mm-hmm. and trailers for our other projects.
Yeah, we during the pandemic we filmed a sci-fi pilot in our little co-op office space here. So that is called Starhaven, and it's about twin sisters that are born in a tiny space shuttle in deep space, raised by an AI guardian, are believe they're the last humans in the universe, and kind of getting to watch them on their adventures. So the trailer for that is on there, and a little bit of behind the scenes making of as well.
That's yeah. amazing. Oh my gosh, you guys are busy. That's awesome. And do you have any socials that you want to plug as well?
Yeah, we're mostly, besides YouTube, we're on TikTok for also comedy shorts. We're on Instagram. It's all at The Laird Sisters.
Mm-hmm. Our website is thelairdsisters.com. Laird, like Scottish Lord.
Yeah. We also just released the album for Verona. We couldn't like afford the 1950s music that we really wanted. We'd been listening to all this great stuff as temp tracks. And so we wrote a bunch of 1950s songs. It's got an original score of like, I think 12 songs.
Yeah.
And so that is, and so that's on Spotify.
It's pretty much everywhere.
All
all the platforms. You can find it also all through our website. And
that is so cool. You wrote music too. Okay, here's my request for you is please don't do stand-up comedy. I don't know if you do, because sometimes I meet stand-up comics and I'm like, all right. And they're like, I also, I'm an artist and I also write music and I also act. And I'm just like, nope, no, no, too many things now. That's too many things. No, but that is that's so cool.
Yeah.
Quickly before you go, I just want to do something, and these could be two different answers. Marry, fuck, kill, vampires, zombies, and werewolves.
Ooh, that's a good question. Mm.
Right off the bat, I'm going to say kill a zombie, because that is not a sensation I think anyone needs.
Yeah. You could, I would say marrying a werewolf just for the warmth, you know, that's like, and probably the ability to gather food.
You're going to probably have a normal person most of the time.
That's true, yeah.
You know, it's just once a month.
This is really smart.
And I mean, vampires are sexy. Who wouldn't want to fuck a vampire?
Yeah.
Wow, I like this. Thank you so much.
One more thing, we are going to be coming out with a Harry Potter spoof in hopefully a couple of weeks. We're going to try and release it for Halloween, and it's called Harry Potter Under the Robe, and it is going to be a reality show look into what all the characters are going through, you know, 20 years after the books.
That's hilarious. Is this the YouTube series?
Yeah, this will be a sketch
comedy. Amazing. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. What a great idea.
It's pretty saucy. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much, Emily. Take care. We'll see you.
Thank you for listening to Haunted as Hell, formerly Comedians with Ghost Stories. If you enjoyed this podcast, the best thing you could do is help spread the word about it by rating and reviewing it wherever you get your pods, and just sharing it. You know, the old-fashioned way, like saying to somebody, wow, I just did the best thing with my commute. Oh, what was it? It was listening to this podcast. It was so good. It was called Haunted as Hell, formerly Comedians with Ghost Stories. Oh, wow. Great. Thank you for telling me, Ted. Also, you can follow me on Instagram at EmilyMCWinter and Haunted as Hell on Instagram. Here's a good way to remember it. It sounds like haunted a shell.